Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. Here we are. Yeah, well, you know, it's the hoops is a lifestyle choice. It really is. It's not just a game. It's a lifestyle choice. And I'm expecting a guest to come on here and talk some Pac-12, some local hoops here shortly. But here we go. We got him right here. All right, we got some. We're going to be talking about the local hoop scene and really kind of break it down. Who's on the line?
How you doing? It's Tyrone.
Tyrone, this is going to be good. So we're sitting here in Seattle. We just watched Stanford. I just watched Dejon Davis come up here and beat UW. Last season it came down to Garfield and Nathan Hale and Dejon and Jalen Noel. Up against Jonte and Michael Porter, and it was actually a pretty close game. A hard-fought game. Garfield probably a little deeper than Nathan Hale. And end of the year, both teams were really on their best and had been battle-tested. And it was quite a good game. And Rainier Beach was able to. Nathan Hale was able to win it. But you saw just the potential of the talent on the court here in Seattle, and you go, man, next year at UW. Whole team coming back, got all these guys, even though they look horrible last year, they're all back. And you see, and you throw a team that's a national championship team led by a couple of brothers in there, plus with Dejon and Noel, guys that really were underrated, not really getting the national publicity they deserve coming in. And then the rest of the class, and, with the option of maybe getting more guys in the class of 2017. And then what happens?
Yeah.
What happened then?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened then? You tell me.
Well, it was tough. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, Jen Cohen blew the whole thing up, and you had it's kind of crazy now that everyone's seen how good Jonjon and Noel really are, and then
right.
Seeing how good Jonte is, and then we all know how good Michael Porter is. To think you could have had those four together.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, that's just amazing.
All right. Would have been. And you're looking with all these guys back, people are talking about how UW is a much improved team. Well, that's what happens in college basketball when everybody in the team has a year, they learn and then they get better and they work on their game and, everyone that's worked on their game, Noah worked on his game and, Matisse and Dom Green and everybody worked on their game. So they're better, but
right.
you just don't kick Michael Porter out the door. I mean, it's just stupid. That's just stupid.
Yes.
What would you compare that to? Kicking Michael Porter and the Porter brothers and that whole class out the door.
It's like, having Ken Griffey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
and A-Rod and just deciding to trade them when they're in their prime.
Yeah, very similar analysis. Actually, that would be great. Having Ken Griffey Jr., A-Rod, and Edgar – and they're just on the verge of just becoming huge, huge stars and really taking it over and saying, well, we can't, this is too much of a hassle dealing with all these guys, and we just want to get some guys in here that are nice guys that are really hardworking, and we're going to bring in some guys that are easy to handle and hardworking, and not so much of a hassle that they're going to leave for the NBA. And, in the case of baseball, to just be such a hassle with trying to sign them all. And we're just going to get rid of them all because we can't afford them. And we don't have the time and energy to be a good baseball team. And that's kind of what it feels like to me. I just think Jen Cohen, I just think that she doesn't know anything about basketball. And you know something else? She's She's stuck up enough that she doesn't care.
I think you nailed it.
She doesn't know anything about it. It's a bother for her. She likes her football, and she likes her being in charge of this program with her all, you know, all the success they've had in all these different sports that, you know, but men's basketball, guys, it's just, I don't like it, and it's a pain in the ass. I don't understand it, and fuck it.
Yep.
Sorry about using my language there. I'm the one who gives people a hard time about bad language, but I mean, I'm losing my cool, bro. I'm losing my cool right now about the whole thing.
You know,
I mean, and this is, I want the listeners to know, as you know, this is nothing about Mike Hopkins.
No,
I mean,
it really
know,
isn't. I like Mike.
Yeah. You like respect his Coach Hopkins' ability to coach. I mean, you know, but it's not about Lorenzo, people try to make this seem like Lorenzo was such a bad coach. Well, look at the team right now. I mean, the offense is anemic. There's no structure, no flow. And if Lorenzo was there, I hate to say it, but everyone would be ripping on Lorenzo.
That's true.
And now everyone's saying that Hopkins is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. It's, to me, it's just nuts when you got a guy like Mike. When you get a guy like Michael Porter to sign a letter of intent that you're going to have him coming in to join your team. And you just scoff at that. It reminds me, it'd be like the Milwaukee Bucks when they got Lou Alcindor coming in and the number one pick. And instead they trade him to, like, you know, somebody who's like, you know, a championship team for a bunch of guys that are like role players and say, oh, yeah, but at least we're going to be an eighth place team instead of the worst team in the NBA. No, you take Lou Alcindor, the greatest player that ever played the game of basketball. I mean, it's just so stupid. The whole thing is just so ridiculously stupid. And what's more stupid is all these people, all these fans, all these Husky fans getting on my butt about, you know, how I'm crazy. I don't understand why they don't understand the concept of this. It's just it's baffling because, you know, I think that coaching is the end all of college basketball, and it's not. It's a part of it. But it's not the whole thing. And I don't even know why they think that Lorenzo is that much worse of a coach than Mike Hopkins. I mean, Mike is a good young coach, but Lorenzo's been a head coach for 25, 30 years, since all the way back to Athletes in Action. So it's like he's not stupid. He's been around this game a long time, you know? And then they keep on going on about the, you know, fouling when you're up three and inbounds plays and all this stuff that they just get all weird about, these amateur coaches about Lorenzo's coaching. But then you have to go back to when they had, like, enough talent to really compete in this league. They competed in this league. They won this league. Now they're far away from winning this league. It's not even funny. It's not even funny at all. It's embarrassing.
I know. Yeah. It really is.
How are you going to compete with UCLA? You can't even compete with Colorado and Utah. You're not going to compete with Arizona State now, the way they're bringing in players. You can't compete with Arizona. You can't compete with Oregon, the way they cheat their ass off every year to get, you know, everybody they want to put together the system. You can't compete with these teams. You know, USC, you know, dirty as you can get.
Absolutely.
You know? And then Lorenzo figured out a way to do it without breaking the rules, without paying to play. He's just kind of worked within the rules, bent him as best he could with, you know, the help of guys like Brandon Roy. And they had a system going where, you know, instead of P.J. Fuller, who's not even considering UW, he was a lock to go to UW. Anybody on that Garfield team right now that just beat up on Rainier Beach was near lock to go to UW this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all Brandon Roy's guys.
They really were.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing is nuts. It's nuts, man. I don't know what is it. Where does it leave? Where does it leave basketball fans in this town? What do you do?
Well, that's the question right there. I mean, what's going to happen here? I mean,
I know.
without being able to bring in the talent, you know, it's all. How are you going to be able to win?
I don't know, and I don't think it's going to be that easy. I think it's going to be a long process. I think that Dave Rice is going to do a good job, and so is Mike Hopkins, of pulling their connections to find players within their circles to get, you know, talent in there. but you know they're going to get players. But they're not the whole local scene is not going with going for UW. They're 0-5 in 2018. This 2019 class is looking to be another skunk. I mean, they're not going to get anybody from the state from the city and the Tacoma scene. None of these guys are going to get any of these guys.
Exactly.
They're not going to get them. I'm sorry. And it's just sad because I'm looking at it and I'm saying, how, well, you know, why? You know, why aren't they getting at least one of them? Even in the worst years of Lynn Nance and Bobby Bender, they at least get one of them, you know. They're not getting anybody right now, and I don't know why.
Well, that's the thing that I wonder. I mean, why aren't they able to get someone?
I don't know. But it's just, I don't know. They're not getting. They didn't get Eric Stevenson.
Lorenzo had this thing on lockdown.
Well, he had it on lockdown, but then, like we've heard from people like Jamal Williams on the show, it's kind of starting over again with the new staff, because Lorenzo developed hard earned relationships that were hard earned, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he really walked the walk, and everybody knew that when Lorenzo said something that he was serious, and that, you know, he developed the respect of people, everybody. And, you know, and he had people that were kind of against him, but it was more or less guys, I think, that didn't want to do things the right way in this town.
Well, I think that's the key. I mean, I think he earned the trust of these kids and these kids' families.
Yeah, that's right. I try it. We can talk to anybody out there of his guys, and that's just the thing that's just so vexing, you know. So we're looking at that. There's nothing really much to talk about. There's no Sonics. The Sonics are gone, you know. I mean, Seattle U's, you know, they're doing pretty good. They're keeping it up and going, and Jim Hayford's doing a good job to try to bring them into success in the WAC. Well, they're doing okay. They're not doing that bad, really. Tyrone, that's a great question about Seattle U. Let's take a look at him. I got him right here, so hold on a second. Seattle U.
Take over the team of the city.
Well, I'm hoping maybe they can come back to their glory days when they had, like, really a lot of great talent coming through. I remember that. It was a long time ago.
I mean,
but it was,
to be honest right now, I mean, this U thing is looking really ugly.
I know. I think Seattle U is probably your best bet if you want to get behind a team that's got somewhere to go. Because I think until they get rid of Jen Cohen and get an AD in there that, you know, that really wants to really get behind basketball, I just think this is going to be just, you know, we're looking at a rebuild now that's going to take as long as the very difficult rebuild Lorenzo had to undergo to get to where he had it ready to really roll again. And basically, you know, we got another rebuild that's going to be just as hard.
What's that? I think you nailed it. I think you get rid of Jen and you get rid of Hopkins and you bring back Lorenzo, because we know Hopkins is going to go to Syracuse. And Lorenzo would be here for life.
Yeah, you know something, that would be a great idea. But then you're just looking at just the pain of the loss of that whole class, and the class of 2018 that could have been, and you're just starting over again with Lorenzo. But at least, you know, with him, he's loyal and he's got these relationships in town here, and at least you probably end up with a good 2019 class. You probably get PJ Priller, you probably get some other players that are going to give you a solid 2019 class, and you're back to where you were like in 2015, but at least you're a little bit further along than you probably will be with Hopkins. But I mean, with Hopkins, you know, he's going to get his guys. He's going to do his system. He might have some success too. The other thing is, so you're kind of, it's sort of, you know, it's kind of hard to know, you know. Hopkins isn't a bad coach, but then the question is he going to be loyal? Is Hopkins going to stick around? That's the big question. With Lorenzo, you knew the guy was honest to a fault. He really was. He was so honest, and he was so loyal. It pains me.
Yeah, he really was.
Guys are really loyal. So at any rate, I'm going to look at what the Seattle U is doing right now. And, you know, they're not doing so bad. They're not doing so bad. Seattle U, they got some decent players on their team, but, Let me just see what they got. Seattle U, they got, well, you know, it's funny because they got, wow, this is interesting. They don't have to look on the ESPN to get their statistics. But Seattle U's had had some success. They basically have a good amount of quality players. And, you know, so that's that. What about the rest of the Pac-12? What do you think, based on these first 3 weekends, what are you seeing out there?
It looks like UCLA is going to lose, and Stanford's going to be 4-1 there at the top.
It's funny. Stanford is
– they would have been – UW would have won tonight. They would have been in first place with Arizona, but they freaking blew it.
Yep, that's right. You nailed it. They would have been in first place with Arizona.
At the Stanford.
How'd they lose to Stanford? Well, they're not as good as Stanford. For one thing, they've got Stanford has these veteran bigs, Reed Travis and Matt Humphries. Yeah. Let's look at the stats tonight. Let's do that for starters. Let's just take a look at the stats tonight.
Silva had 10 boards.
Who had 10 boards?
Silva. Dejon Davis had 10 boards, and DeSilva had 11 boards.
Wow.
Look at these freshmen. DeSilva, White, Okpala,
yep.
Davis. You guys are loaded.
Yep, that's right. Stanford basically took it to UW in the paint with their bigger lineup. And that's what I thought Cal would also do, but UW figured out a way to neutralize that. For one thing, they got Marcus Lee in early foul trouble. That was a big thing. But UW just doesn't have the depth and the talent in the front court to deal with these Pac-12 level teams. They'd be fine in the Big Sky. I mean, even though they struggle with a couple of Big Sky teams, they'd be fine in the Big Sky or the WAC. You know, they might even be fine in UW might even be fine in you know, some of these other lesser leagues like the Big West or the you know, some of these low major leagues. They'd be a really strong team, you know, with Noah Dickerson and Sam Timmons as your only bigs. But you ain't going to do that in the Pac-12. Come on, be real here.
No.
But, I mean, just,
not
you know, look,
really
I mean,
not.
Let's look at this box score tonight for Stanford and UW. Okay, first of all, you mentioned the rebounds. Matt Humphrey, 9 rebounds. Travis, only 5. Reed Travis, only 5 rebounds. Give him credit. They did block off Reed Travis, but what's that?
48 boards. Guess how many UW had?
Fuck. 28. I just saw it got cheated. Yeah. I know. It's just murdered them on the boards.
We had 3 offensive rebounds. They had 14. I mean, granted, we had 12 blocks. They had 3 blocks. But how the heck? We only had 8 assists. I mean, who the heck is teaching these guys to rebound?
You know, they're not rebounding very well because they're not a very good team to rebound. They're working that zone. They're trying to get steals. They got 10 steals to 4 steals for Stanford, and they got 12 blocks. That's impressive for UW. Got 12 blocks to 3 blocks for Stanford. That's cool. They made some action happen. They did some things outside the norms of the stat sheet that kept them in the game.
Here's where you this game. Here's how you lose this game. Look at our 3-point shooting. Jalen Noel, 1 for 5 from 3. David Crisp, 1 for 7 from 3. Matisse Thybulle, 0 for 4.
Yep.
Michael Carter.
Dominic Green came in, shot 2 for 2, but he only played 11 minutes, you know. And Michael Carter, 1 for 3.
The line. I mean, why the hell does David Crisp even have a scholarship? I mean, the guy's pathetic.
Well, he's having a rough time here against Stanford. He's had a better year this year than last year. You know, I think David Crisp is a guy that, you know, when he gets finished at UW after his senior year, he'll probably leave UW, you know, with a pretty nice set of positive looking records and a pretty strong senior year. Hopefully have a better rest of the season, you know, statistically, and kind of mellow out like these lower efforts like tonight. But let's just face it. You know, I mean, who's their point guard? David Crisp, okay. Their point guard's David Crisp. They got that backup point guard, that Michael Carter the third, and he's probably a better looking point guard than Crispy. But you know, look who's on the other team, Dejon Davis.
Yeah.
Now Dejon Davis started for Stanford. He's a freshman. He played 39 minutes, six of 13 from the field, 1 of 2 from three, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, but 7 turnovers. Okay, but he's a freshman starting point guard in the Pac-12. You know, he's going to have some problems adjusting to this game. But imagine how good he's going to be in 2-3 years. And I just can't believe that UW would just walk away from a talent like that when they don't have a point guard, especially. You know, I mean, if Jen Cohen knew anything at all about basketball, she'd go, you know, we could fire Lorenzo, but then we wouldn't have a point guard next year, so, or the next 2 years probably. So we better not fire him. We got 2 point guards coming in.
Yeah, no, I mean,
there's certain things about basketball that she just doesn't obviously know, and she doesn't even care that she doesn't know. She just wants to flaunt how badass she is, that he doesn't have to care. Her football is such a big deal, and Coach Pete, and she gets to hang out at the Tai Club, and I don't know what she's doing in that Tai Club, but it ain't good right now. So, you know, beyond that, I mean, obviously Da Silva, you know, that Opala, those guys are,
he's the guy. Opala, he's averaging 13 a game as a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And on top of that, he's – well, he's an interesting cat. I mean, he's from L.A. He's just a guy that Stanford gets, those kind of guys, the guys that have really good grades, and they have a definite recruiting advantage to get those really good quality students, athletes, over a lot of other schools because Stanford's such a highly thought of school, you know. And here's Opala, you know, they end up getting him, and these guys end up doing pretty well a lot of times. I think Stanford's in good shape with the program the way things are. You got Dejon Davis is one of those guys. Dejon Davis is one of those kind of guys, and that's why, because obviously he wanted to go play with Jalen Noel and the Porter brothers and do all that stuff. But when that fell apart, he's sitting there thinking, though, do I really want to play for this team and just play, you know, just a college basketball team here in Seattle, or do I want to go to Stanford, you know? There's nothing special about UW basketball now.
No.
There's something special about UW football. You know, there's something special about that. There's something special about UW volleyball and UW softball. It's special. They're elite level programs. But basketball, that's not happening. I'm really disappointed.
I'm just surprised Jen really, you know, made that decision. You know, I know we keep talking, harping about it, but I'm surprised she made that decision without talking to those alumni.
I know. That's the other thing, is she didn't talk to any of those guys. She didn't talk to any of them. And the list is really impressive. I mean, you look at the NBA guys from Washington. You know, Washington Husky NBA guys, most of them. I'm talking about, there's 33 of them. And like almost half of them in the history of the school are guys that Lorenzo recruited. And that number gets even bigger because of what he would have had in the 2017 class. I mean, you just look at the guy, they're all at Marquise Chris, Markel Fultz, Justin Holliday, Jonte Murray, Poindexter, Ross, Isaiah Thomas, Wilcox. Those guys are in the NBA now. But you look at all the other guys, it's like there's 33 of them, and over half of them are guys that Lorenzo brought in, guys who have ever played in the NBA in the history of the school, in the history of a basketball program that's over 100 years old. And half of them are guys that Lorenzo brought to the school. And then you add to that another 3-4 from this class of 2017. I mean, it's just absolutely bonkers, completely stupid that she would pull the plug on this.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And what's even more unbelievable, you tell me if I'm wrong, is how these UW fans pushed her to do this and agreed with everything, and just in large majorities of them sat there on these message boards and just applauded this like it was a great idea to just destroy all this talent coming into the program.
I think there's a lot of racism going on there.
Oh, a lot of stupidity, too. A lot of these guys haven't been watching basketball that long.
You know, rat ball. Well, did anybody watch the game tonight and see the offense? I mean, we had no plays.
Yeah.
It looks like they just rolled the ball out. No ball movement. No screens. Nothing.
Bad shot selection. Horrible shot selection.
No spacing. I mean, what the heck? Terrible adjustments. I mean, what are you doing playing Nas Carter when he's got three turnovers and you know, terrible shot selection? I mean, he has 0 points, yet Dominic Green comes in and takes good shots, and it's 2 for 2 from downtown.
Yeah, and they didn't play Carlos Johnson either, which was kind of weird, considering, you know, we're playing in a team in Stanford that's manhandling us on the boards. Manhandling us on the boards.
That's actually a good point. That's a good point.
You know, and here's Carlos Johnson, scrappy. At least he'd be getting there and scrap and fight a little bit. God knows, if I was 6'10", if I was Matt Humphries, just some 6'10 guy that's kind of Mr. Suave Stanford guy, I'd be scared to death of fucking Carlos Johnson. Excuse my language. I mean, Carlos will make you look bad. He's tough. They needed
tough.
That tonight. You know?
He's tough. He's tough. Underdog.
He's an underdog. He's got nothing to lose, and he's got a lot to play for. That would have been a good move to bring him in, you know, to get some mixed things up, you know. But, you know, I think that Hopkins he's trying to build up his program. He's got his guys that he recruited, and he played them a lot tonight. Amir Wright, Naz Carter, Michael Carter, third. He's, like, playing his guys, and he's not really playing the old guys. And, you know, I hate to say it, but he's going to try to rebuild the program from the ground up, and that's all he can probably do. And, you know, it bums me out because I doubt he's going to be as loyal as Lorenzo was. I think, you know, he'll probably get it to a point and then vamoose. And then it's just a matter of rebuilding it again, you know. It's what we've seen at Wazoo over and over, you know. They get a guy like Tony Bennett, he builds it up, and boom, he's gone, you know. So, I don't know. It's pretty depressing. But what about the rest of this Pac-12? I mean, right now UCLA is struggling for their lives. They're down 9. They're going to lose this game to Colorado with 59 seconds to go. Okay. So, yeah, Colorado's a really pretty darn good team. Let's just be honest. UCLA's first place. And here is Colorado goes into Pauley and is probably going to beat them, okay? You know, Utah is another really good team, strong team. You know, they got what it takes to probably be a tournament team this year. USC's got plenty of talent. They're going to be in there. Oregon, you know, was able to beat Arizona State on the road, and Arizona right down the wire. It was 7-point win, but it was really close right down the end, you know. And so that's basically your Pac-12, and there's just a lot of good teams. How is UW going to get into that mix without really good players and lots of depth? What's it going to take? How long is it going to take before they can compete in that with those teams I just mentioned? How long would you say, based on how they're able to recruit? Based on how they're able to recruit, yeah. What would you think it would take if it did happen? What would it take?
I don't know if it'll ever happen. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
that's too bad.
I just don't see how it could happen at this point.
Yeah,
they'd have to have a. They'd have to have a ton of talent.
Yeah. They have coming in. They're trying hard with this Brian Penn Johnson. They think they're going to get this Nate Pryor guy back, who's looked good as a senior at West Seattle. you know, they're going to, you know, they're going to, and he, maybe he can be a point guard, you know, because, you know, so they'll add him to the mix behind Crisp when Crisp's a senior. But, you know, I think that Michael Carter Williams might end up playing a lot more minutes next year when he gets, finally gets in the mix, and maybe Pryor, and they'll move Crisp back to his two position. It might be good for them to move Crisp back to the two for his senior year and have one, either Carter or Pryor playing the point guard. Kind of like Dentman, when Dentman was a senior, he moved over to two, and they had Isaiah playing the point, and it was a lot more successful. And then, you know, and then they got Thibel at the three; he'll be a senior. And then the four and the five, Dickerson and Timmons, and then you got a little bit more depth behind them with these. If they get Penn Johnson and Nate Roberts, and then Jamal Bey, a little bit of depth behind, kind of. You know, schooling him as a protege behind Thibel, you know. And I guess they, and then I guess the, you know, Dominic Green will be a senior. But then they got to, you know, they got to recruit another class. And again, they're not really getting much interest from that 2019 class from the guys from the Northwest. So we'll have to bring in some more guys from out of town. And, you know, kind of hard to build it up that way at UW.
Well, yeah, I mean, what, it's like they need to get some of these local studs. I mean, you really need an offensive player like a Kevin Porter.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a real good thing. Well, you know, what does it take? What does it take for them to get Kevin Porter? That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get a guy like
that? Yeah, well, UW had a much better shot than they have now. When Romo was here, he ended up getting DeJounte Murray. I swear to God, I thought he was pay to play. I thought he'd be going to Oregon. But they got him. I don't know how they did. I think it was with Jamal Crawford. I think that it's going to be tough. They don't have the community recruiting connections in town here. I'm sure Hopkins knows how to do the pay to play thing. If he wants to, I just don't think he's doing it. I think they're trying to do it, you know, another way, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I would hope that something better would happen. Well, what do you think about the NBA? Let's change the subject on something a little lighter. What do you think about the NBA this year? What's your gut feeling on the way things are going there?
Well, you know, I mean, the Warriors are doing right now.
You know, it's pretty nice, really. Yeah, they're really getting it going.
They really got a big time squad. Let's look at this game here.
What's going on?
Pac-12. Yeah, looks like you're right. Colorado.
They were able
to hold on to it. You know, UW was not able to hold on to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is with Colorado, it's a bunch of veterans too. This is the kind of team, you know, if Hopkins hangs in and he goes out and gets his own guys, and like he could be another guy like Tad Boyle or Larry Krystowiak. I doubt he's going to be as good of finding guys and developing as Krystowiak has been, but that's a high bar. But he could be a guy like Tad Boyle and build up a program from the ground up in a few. But it's going to take like 4 or 5 years. We had it right now, and they just totally blew it. But, so let's say it takes 4 years for him to get a bunch of his team, his guys, and kind of develop some veterans, develop kind of a chemistry and a system and everything. And he could have something good in 4 or 5 years. And that's kind of what it looks like it's going to have to happen. It's the only way. But getting back to the NBA, I mean, like you said about the Warriors, that's just the great thing about the Warriors. It just kind of folds right into the whole conversation, because look at the Warriors. You got tons and tons and tons of talent, and a lot of them are really guys that we've seen in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, there's so many Pac-12 players that we've seen that have worked out in the NBA, you know, and there's so much talk amongst college basketball fans. I think the college basketball fans really talked their head off about how Romar's a lousy coach. And they talk their head off about how the Pac-12 is easy, and if the Huskies can't make the tournaments because the Huskies are bad and Lorenzo's a lousy coach. But you also look at the Pac-12, it's a lot different than winning the WCC or the Big Sky or something like that. There may be some teams that don't play that great in November, December, but they have a lot of talent, and they put it together in like February and March usually against each other. Sometimes they even peak before the tournament and kind of cheese out in the tournament. But look, that's a tough league. It's a lot of competition.
Really, a lot of time.
Well, let's take a look at the Boston Celtics. Here's a team. Now, what do you think about the way Boston's done it this year?
I like your team. I like what he's done. Question is, you know, was the Kyrie trade, was that a smart trade or not? Or is Isaiah, you know, the superior player? That's the real question it comes down to.
And Isaiah's really struggling right now.
It's Marco Fultz, the right, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Not taking Fultz and taking Tatum. You know, and Tatum's leading the NBA in three-point field goal percentage.
Wow, that's really impressive for a freshman, for a rookie. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you still got Marcus Smart. You got, there's some really good players. They got some really good players.
Jaylen,
you got Kyrie Irving.
Good.
Jaylen Brown, he's really turning it on, another Pac-12 guy. You know, Aaron Baines he's on the team. He's a Pac-12. So is Jabari Bird. A lot of Pac-12
guys. He's the starting center.
But, yeah, exactly. And then you got Al Horford. You got Gordon Hayward sitting on the bench. When he gets back, that's going to be something else.
What about,
you know,
Jabari Bird?
That's what I'm saying. He's on there too. Another Pac-12 guy. You know, and there's definitely some talent in the Boston Celtics. I honestly think it's going to be Boston and Cleveland. Cleveland right now is kind of, I don't know, they're kind of struggling, but I mean, I'm just wondering what's going on with Cleveland. They just lost last night to the Pacers, and they're playing,
yeah, they're really struggling.
They're playing Monday against the Warriors. That's going to be interesting. Monday night, that would be must-see TV, Monday night, the Cavaliers and the Warriors in Cleveland.
They're really struggling, man. What's going on over there?
Well, they're 26-16. The Warriors are 35-9. My God, 35-9. I mean, and, you know, and the thing about the Warriors is, where's Stephen Curry? They're 35-9. They're winning games like crazy. And is Stephen Curry even playing right now?
Yeah. And
is he? He was out for a while. He had been out for a while, but he's been out. But they even kept winning even when he was. You know, they got so much talent.
Yeah. Look at that LSU coach just lost it. Went absolutely berserk.
Wow. Look at this Warrior squad, though. Talk about a really well-put-together team. My God. Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, Chris Boucher, and Jordan Bell, two guys that were on Oregon last year. Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Kevin Looney, another Pac-12 guy. Klay Thompson, another Pac-12 guy. Nick Young, another Pac-12 guy. They got a real West Coast flavor to them, but there's like so many big-time players on this team. Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. That's like four All-Stars. Could they put five All-Stars on the floor? Almost.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're pretty amazing. Does anybody in the West, do you think, have a chance?
What about this Tyrone Wallace?
I know Tyrone Wallace. Tyrone Wallace from Cal Bears. I mean, yeah, Tyrone Wallace. played tonight with he's with Sacramento.
Guy's really doing it.
Yeah. It's another guy that's pretty amazing. Tyron Wallace, you know. I mean, you know, Sacramento obviously is kind of a
Tyron Wallace
that's not...
is young. He was just drafted last year.
Yeah. Is he, I mean, is he with Sacramento? Where is he at? He's not with Sacramento. Where is he at now?
Tyron Wallace is with the Clip Joint.
With the Clippers, that's right. I'm confused. Yeah, he's with the Clippers. He just now finally got into the NBA.
Yeah,
the Clip Joint. What about the Clippers? What do you think about them it this year?
Well,
what do you think they got a chance?
A little bit of a run. They're starting to make a little bit of a run here.
Uh huh. They have some talent.
And, yep.
He has some talent. I mean, they got some talent for sure.
Yeah.
And
they've had some injuries.
Uh huh.
You know, but I think they're good. I think they're talented. And I think that, you know, Doc Rivers is a good coach.
Uh huh.
And I think they got good ownership. So I think they're going to, you know, have some free money here to come out and see if they can spend it on, you know, getting some players here.
Who do they need, really? They've got
Guy like LeBron.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody needs LeBron, but they could, if they had LeBron, I'll tell you, they'd be really tough, though, because they got Blake Griffin. They got some pretty decent guards. I mean, Patrick Beverley is a pretty solid guard. You know, they got some pretty good players, you know. I got some good shooters. You got some good wings. I mean, that, you're right. I mean, they would be if you put them on this team, they could be that they could be pretty good. Do you think that Cleveland's really that bad, though?
You know, I think Cleveland's good. I think Cleveland's tough, and I think if Isaiah can come back and you know, play. Isaiah's just got to play better. I mean, that's bottom line.
He hasn't played that well, yeah. And it's just, I mean, and then there's Chicago. That's another team that has got a lot of local interest. The Justin Holiday starting for him, you know.
Yeah,
and,
Zach LaVine came back tonight.
And he came back. Robin Lopez on that team. Lauri Markkanen is having a really incredible rookie year. Really incredible, another Pac-12 guy. Pondexter's on the team.
Yeah.
He's not doesn't really doing much, but I mean it's you know that's a good team, and they got LaVine back now, so that's another guy. Here's an example.
Pondexter?
He hasn't done that much this year. He seems like he's kind of turned into more or less of a journeyman guy that's not getting played this year much with them. He might be good to get traded to a team that can use him more. How about this guy here?
I mean,
how about this guy, Cristiano Silva Felicio? Remember him when Oregon signed him and he was going to high school in Eugene?
No.
You don't remember that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guy, he's with the Bulls now. He's been with the Bulls for, he was playing overseas for a long time. Yeah, he was like an Oregon commit and like signed to him. Oh yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yep. And
Yep.
They don't talk about that here much. I wonder if maybe I got that wrong. I thought he was the guy that was signed to Oregon. But so I mean, who else in the NBA? Who else in the NBA has a chance in the West against the Warriors? Do you think? Who else in the NBA has a chance against the Warriors?
Well, you know, the Warriors. When you look at the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
you look at a team that can just shoot the crap out of the ball, and mm-hmm. in order to in order to compete against the Warriors, you've got to be able to defend on the perimeter.
Yep. Yeah, he was an Oregon signee, 6'10", Cristiano Silvio Felicio. He was an Oregon signee from Brazil, and now he's with the Bulls. This whole idea that, you know, Percy Allen tried to say on our show that Oregon gets the same kind of recruits that UW gets is such complete bullshit. Such complete bull. I'm my language has been horrible. Sorry about that. But I mean, it's
yeah.
Just
no, you're absolutely right.
They got Nike working overtime finding them cherry situations to fit their exact needs. It's almost like they got an NBA GM working behind the scenes, finding them the guys that they need, veterans, you know, year in, year out, getting these grad transfers, not just grad transfers, but the best grad transfers available, you know, for years. And now they're built up to the program to the point where they get the Final Four. Then they send a bunch of guys to the league. Now they get a bunch of five stars coming in. And this year it seems like it's not working out, but I bet you when push comes to shove at the end of this year, they're right in it. Bet you anything.
Well,
you know, took off and had a great game tonight was Elijah Brown.
Yeah, that's right.
He did a big game tonight.
Elijah Brown, that's true.
So how does Cristiano Felicio come from Brazil to Eugene, Oregon, to go to high school in some high school in Eugene and be a 2013 Oregon signee? How does that happen? Does that happen because they do a lot of research down in Brazil with Oregon? I think those Oregon Ducks managers are, you know, looking through the Brazilian basketball, high school basketball films to find guys. I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Nike.
I mean,
it's Nike.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. It's Nike. Nike's buying these guys for them. Guarantee it. And then when they go looking for them, a lot of other teams follow them, try to get them, but then Nike's got advantages in getting them.
There you go.
What about Oregon State though? Let me ask you about Oregon State. Do you think that UW can take them this year?
No, I don't. I think Oregon State is really tough, man.
Uh-huh. Well, I hate to say it.
I think Oregon State, you're looking at a team that's that's really tough.
I think UW maybe gets another upset win over somebody, and I think they beat either Oregon State or Washington State, and they get this 5 wins. 3-2 right now, 5-13 for the year.
You think so?
Yeah. Let's look at their schedule real quick. Let's just take a quick look. I know we can't get off UW, but, I mean, it's in our blood. We gotta do it. Let's just look at that UW, the happy UW schedule right now, okay? Okay, right now we couldn't handle Stanford at here, so we're at 3-2. Okay, next one at Utah, come on. After that at Colorado, nope, no chance. Okay, after that Washington State at home. Okay, we beat them over there. It was a close game. We gonna do it again? I don't know. They didn't shoot very well against us. We played great. We got that win. It was a great win. Hopefully we can play great again. Okay, that's 4 wins. Let's say that's 4 wins. Next one, Arizona State here. Don't think so. Arizona, not a chance. That's right there you're looking at 4-6. Okay, Oregon and Eugene, Oregon State and Corvallis. My bet would be 4-8. Utah and Colorado in Seattle, my bet would be 4-10. Stanford, Cal on the road. My bet would be 4-12. Maybe they could possibly get a split on that road trip. I don't know. I've hard to believe. And then their last weekend in Seattle, Oregon State, and Oregon. I don't see them beating Oregon. Not the end of the year with that veteran team and all that depth. Maybe they win Oregon State there. 5-13. There you go.
Yeah.
5-13. So all you guys out there on Twitter, all you jerks on the Dog Man, all you guys that are giving me all this crap over here about my prediction of 5-13, there it is. Look at it. Think about it. And enjoy it, because that's what you get this year for all your talk about how Romar is such a horrible coach and how Hopkins has already proven he's a, such a better coach. Romar wouldn't even have a win yet. No, Romar wouldn't have a win yet. Not with Michael Porter, who won the national title. He dominated everybody. Porter scored like 50 points. Porter scored like 50 points against some guys. He averaged like 35 points a game last year. It was like the kind of numbers you get from guys like Wilt Chamberlain and Larry Bird when they're in high school and they win national titles from small-time schools. It's just unbelievable.
Just a bunch of freaking racists, bro.
I know. It is. It's awful. And I've had it. But I'm trying to enjoy basketball. I don't know how enjoyable it is to listen to us bit, but I'm trying to enjoy basketball anyway. What can we talk about that's positive? Let's talk about something that's positive in the world of basketball.
Let's talk about Kim Grennell. Let's talk about Kim Grennell's high heels.
Kim Grennell is a perfect example. Kim Grennell, how about Percy Allen's feature on UW? Give me the breakdown on that. You gave me a pretty good breakdown on that. Give me the breakdown on that, since now that you had a chance to really absorb it.
It's interesting to me that Percy and those guys are all kissing the good old Hopkins' behind, but Percy was given a sweet deal by Lorenzo. I mean, Lorenzo gave him interview after interview. And you know, all he's doing is ripping Lorenzo.
I know. I think he's just trying to keep in with Jen Cohen and the organization down UW, because the main thing is Percy and the Seattle Times need to keep their sweet deal going with Husky football. That's the main thing. And it's not Percy. It isn't Percy. It's the job he's got. He's got to work for the publisher, and that's what they want. That's what his editor wants.
So
they're kind of coming up with these. They're coming up with these features, trying to make it seem like, hey, things are so much better with Hopkins, and Romar was horrible compared to what Hopkins is doing. And in the meantime, it's just the whole thing is kind of just, yeah. So what about Grenolds? Tell me about Grenolds. I want to know more about Grenolds. What's going on? I didn't see him. Was he down there today at Stanford game?
Yeah, Grenolds is a big-time cat.
He is a big-time cat. He's a wheeler dealer. What about Steve Garden? When's he getting out of jail?
That's your boy, Stephen F. Garden.
I think Ballmer feels a little bit bad that he sent this guy that used to be his buddy to jail. Think about all the hours that he's talked to Ballmer about basketball, and Ballmer picked his brain for stuff about basketball, and then he sent him to jail. Do you think Ballmer feels guilty about that? Yeah, I mean, do you think Ballmer feels guilty about that? I kind of wonder, because you got to look at Gordon, though. I mean, talk about it. God, man, talk about a kind of a sleaze bag to use Ballmer's name for a penny ante.
Talk about a
penny ante Ponzi. To use Ballmer's name to close deals for a penny ante Ponzi deal. I mean, God, talk about stupid. Like Ballmer's not going to find out about it. My God,
Ballmer's
Lord, and
Ballmer's a freaking crook too.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to use his name and have him not find out about it. Was at the Rainier Beach Garfield game. Speaking of the devil, he was at the Rainier Beach Garfield game. He flew his private plane to Seattle to see that game. He spent more money on fuel than that game cost to produce that whole game.
You're kidding me.
He got his private plane and flew up to see the Rainier Beach Garfield game last night. The Rainier Beach kicked butt on Garfield got totally kicked their butt. Ballmer flew in to see the last Rainier, he's really into Rainier Beach. He flew in to see Rainier Beach play. Who was it? He really likes Kevin Porter. There was some film of him talking to Kevin Porter after the game at the end of Kevin Porter's little highlight reel by one of these local guys that these highlight reels. That Kevin Porter talking to Ballmer and kind of just sort of chawing the fat with Ballmer after the game.
Yeah.
So what Ballmer comes up here to see these games in his private jet, man.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, these Garfield, I just got finished coaching a couple of games at the high school level here, as you know. And, I mean, these games, I mean, they got like someone running the hot dog stand. They got somebody running the door. They got somebody doing the janitor work. I mean, the money he spent on flying that plane is like more than the entire thing costs. From the soap they use to wash all the gym socks and gym shorts on down to everything else. He flies in there to see the game. You know, you gotta admire the guys. You gotta admire the guys' dedication to hoops. Ballmer. You know what I mean? What do you think?
I agree, man. I mean,
he's a hoop nut, and our show is for hoop nuts, by the way. What's that?
The guy's a big time hoops junkie. I mean, that's the reality of it. But I mean, you know, I mean, I think he's a pay to play guy. I think he was paying some of those Lakeside kids.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, that Tremaine Isabel is doing well. Tremaine's doing well. He's kicking it out over there in Drexel, and Paul Fortier has got him out there and gave him a second chance after he ended up kind of going nowhere with Missouri. And after he ended up going sideways with Wazoo and everything else under the sun, Bernie Kant kind of gave him the boot.
That Paul pretty boy Fortier.
You're doing way better than me this show. You really have come a long way. No, seriously, honestly, I think Paul is doing good. Drexel Dragons.
He's doing good. You're right. And Tremaine's doing great. You're right. I mean, he's averaging 18 a game.
Yeah, and you know Drexel is, you know, they're putting it together. Paul's a good coach. Paul was a good coach at UW. He got canned, I think, more or less because the recruiting thing wasn't really his thing. He's a coach. He's an actual coach. And the recruiting thing is he did his best he could to help because he's a team guy and he's a loyal guy and he's a good guy too. And he's a nice guy. But I think that recruiting, Lorenzo really needed to go out and get players. And he tried for a long time and it was a rough road. Remember?
It was.
And they had a rough road. So he ended up going out and get Otzelberger and he got Chillis back. And then he ended up with Porter, and then everything was really going good. Chillis was going to go. He was going to move on, and they were probably going to bring in Dollar, which would have really helped, and it has helped this year. They played better defense this year. And, it's back to the same old story. But, I'm just trying to think of what else is out there in the world of hoops that's worth mentioning. Seems like there's more going on than that. Well, Trey Young is a great story, and he's a great story. He had 40 points today.
43 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists,
and he had like 7 turnovers. But they won. They beat TCU again. He beat them this time by scoring over 100 points. So what was it, like 104-97, something like that?
Yeah. I'm surprised. I mean, TCU is, I think, third in the nation in scoring, and Oklahoma's second or something like that.
Yeah. Well, TCU was a team that last year people were scoffing that Lorenzo lost to him twice with Markelle Fultz, the number one draft pick. But let's just be honest. I mean, TCU is a good program right now. They've really put it together, and when Lou Dub lost to him twice, it was embarrassing at the time, but it really showed that they were headed to good things. Jamie Dixon's a good coach.
He's a really good coach.
Very good coach, you know. And he knows how to find players too.
and he got some players down there, and he's got a bunch of them, and now they're really doing well. But then again, Trae Young is probably the best college player in the country right now.
And maybe that's someone that Romar could have gotten.
Well, he was he said he wanted to go play with Michael Porter, so, you know, and, I mean,
can
Michael
you imagine
Romar
those two together?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I don't know that Trae Young ever would have been to UW because I think that I think he was pay to play, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, you know, anything I could, it's just my gut feeling. But I think that what happened was that Porter was able to convince Kevin Knox to go to, or maybe Trae Young wasn't. But the key thing is, I just don't think that UW was interested in him for some. I think they thought he was not right for what they wanted to do, which may have been a really big mistake. But Kevin Knox, they did get Kevin Knox to visit Missouri based on Michael Porter and his dad. So they might have got him to visit UW, like I've mentioned before. They might have gotten a lot of guys to visit UW in the spring. They might have gotten a number of guys to take a look at UW. So, UW could have had a much different team this year. But, yeah, that's the end of this.
I mean,
that's the end of – at least we covered, at least we've really covered everything this
week. If
you
think about it right now, what's happening over there at UW is the issue of point guard – is probably the biggest issue on this roster. I mean, I know if you were to take one, let's just quickly take two issues on this roster. And if you were going to fix them,
yeah,
what would you do?
Well, point guard is the one thing that's really sticks out. Okay. The other thing that really sticks out is post players, post depth. You got two decent post players in Dickerson and Timmons, but you need like three more, you know, to really be competitive in this league. And then hopefully you get, you know, out of those five, you get one that's really a solid, solid producer, kind of like what you're seeing in Ayton right now, or in, some of the other guys around the league that are met to guys that are just dominant, you know, guys that are dominant Pac-12 post guys. Guys like John Brockman his senior year, or guys like
Hey, we got a caller on the line here, Jim. Jim, we got a caller on the line.
You got a caller on the line. Who's the caller?
It's Jeremy.
Jeremy, what's going on? Good to hear from you. We got that you figured out a way to get on the line. Usually with this show, after an hour, they won't let new callers online, but this is great. You guys will be able to pull it off. What's going on? You watched that UW-Stanford game tonight.
Yes, I did.
Yes, well, Jeremy, I'm going to extend the show just so you can tell me what you saw, because me and Tyrone have really looked it over from top to bottom. I want to hear what you say about it.
Well, just off the preface, I didn't hear anything you guys said, but I think it was a mismanaged game overall by Hopkins. I thought he had opportunities to change the lineup, and I don't think he made the right choices. We were getting killed inside, and he tried to go small, even though we weren't shooting well. And then he didn't even put in the best shooter, Dominic Green.
I thought it was kind of a mismatch game too.
But somehow they were still in it, even though a, kind of epic failure by David Chris. I mean, 0-for-4 from the free throw line. What was he, 1-for-6 from downtown?
1-for-7.
I mean, is he even a legitimate Pac-12 point guard?
I think he's – I think that the Hopkins is trying to convince him
I mean, I think the bottom line with Chris is that he's too busy pounding his girlfriend cheerleader. I mean, he's out there playing with blue balls every night.
Well, far be it from me to put that. Far be it from me to say anything bad about that, because I'm sure that's a lot of fun. But the thing is, with the CRISPR, you know, I just think that he'd be a lot better off at that two guard position, and they had somebody who actually is more of a ball control floor leader type of a point guard that goes out there and gets you 7-8 assists and takes care of the ball.
He doesn't do 30%. I mean, he's a crispy critter. He's shooting 30% from three.
He's kind of what I consider a bricklayer right now, and I don't know why he shoots so many bricks, but it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad, you guys. What would you think, Jeremy, about UW if they had Dejon Davis right now? I know he's not the greatest point guard in the world, but he certainly is a good player. Would they be better off right now with Dejon Davis?
Oh, for sure. Dejon Davis had a double-double tonight. He completely abused Chris.
Well, they had a bunch of guys that kicked butt on the board.
The thing that's disappointing is the lack of development by the upperclassmen.
Yeah. Dickerson's been
solid this year but had an off night, but Thybul really can't do anything but spot-up shoot.
Well, they've given him a lot of hype on Pac-12 Network that he's got some kind of a real serious, like an NBA future as like a 3-and-D guy, but I don't know. I think it's pushing it. I think he's number one. He's kind of too short to be an NBA.
Where was Justin Holiday at this point of his junior year?
Justin Holiday was doing pretty good. Justin Holiday was always very, very good even in his freshman year. Just disruptive. You know, he just happened to be the guy that caused the prop. He had like a really high plus minus when he was in ball games. He'd come in and they'd go on runs because he'd disrupt, he'd get stops, he was always good like that, you know, and he just developed into an all around basketball player. He developed into a shooter, he developed into a passer, and his body grew, he grew into his body, and now look at him now, he's a starter in the NBA. What about Zach LaVine? Do you think he's going to have a good year this year now that he's off the injured?
I don't know. His game's been kind of up and down. I don't know how much, you know, is he going to just kind of be a gunner?
What about Kim Grenell?
Yeah, did you see Kim down there tonight, Jeremy? Was he sporting any new high heels or anything?
No, I mean, no lift. He wasn't elevating, but I did see. I saw Percy. Slick Watts.
Oh yeah,
Slick
down there.
Donald Watts, Husky great Donald Watts, and Chris Fetters,
no less.
Down there, he was crushing about 12 donuts, 2 bags of Doritos. And and I think 3 large Cokes. And then Slick Watts came up to him and kind of was wagging his big Slick Rick schlong, big cock watch.
enough of this. You really behaved yourself, Tyrone, for the whole show.
I
mean, you would have been seriously, Eric, you guys would have been proud of Tyrone. He really behaved himself for the whole show, and now look what you got him saying, Jeremy. Oh my lord! So honestly, let's move into the
smuck on the other line. This guy's got to be a coug.
Tyrone Jones, baby.
What about the Cougs? Tonight, Robert Franks 10 3-pointers, Pac-12 record against
Cal. Are you
serious? No, 10 3-pointers tonight, Robert Franks.
Oh my goodness!
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. He's really turned it on. I did not see this coming,
guys.
Here's
an interesting question.
Okay, go ahead.
Name your all Pac-12 team.
Okay, I'll start with the big man, DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton's got to be on the team. I'm going to go right now. The Stanford guys tonight, it's tough because they're really balanced, and a lot of what's making them win are new guys. Reed Travis, I suppose. I guess I'd have to say Reed Travis. Just from the way these guys vote, I'd go Reed Travis. A lot of big men in the Pac-12 that are doing well. Aaron Holiday, I believe, I think UCLA is going to probably win it this year. I mean, either them or Arizona. But I think Aaron Holiday.
Yeah, I know, isn't that crazy?
What about Trier?
I think Trier has got a shot to be in there. I think also Trey Holder should probably end up being in in that All Pac-12 team.
I think
someone from Oregon is going to sneak in because I think Oregon is going to turn it on over the course of the season. Metu, he's got to quit playing. You know, he's got to quit playing pocket pool with guys. I think maybe, but no, Metu. Honestly, I think he's USC's got a long ways to go. I think they're going to probably turn it on too.
Yeah,
I think USC
kind of,
and Oregon
been disappointing.
They have. I think they got a chance to turn it on. But the one that I'm almost sure will turn it on is Oregon. I think they're just starting to turn a corner, and they got a lot of talent. I think there's a chance that a guy like an Elijah Brown or a Peyton Pritchard could sneak onto that All Pac-12 team. I think that Trey Tinkle might possibly squeeze on there. Franks might even if he keeps shooting the way he is. Am I missing?
What about a freshman team?
Jalen Nowell could be on the freshman team. I think that'll be probably your lone Pac-12 honoree from UW. Maybe Matisse Thybulle on the all-defensive team. What's that?
McKinley Wright.
He's an interesting case. He didn't hardly do anything for him tonight, and they beat UCLA in Pauley. So that's a really interesting situation. They're just
Hey,
to me, Colorado's Holler. Putting it together. Jrue Holiday had a good game last night, by the way. But
that Jrue Holiday went to UW. What would the announcer have said his name like?
You mean Bob Rondo, or the guy from behind the microphone?
Behind the mic,
Bob Rondo. He would have called him Jrue Holiday because he was like totally a stickler for pronouncing guys' names right. I don't think anybody ever called him Jrue Holiday.
Like, would it be like Jrue?
What do you have
Holiday?
Like?
What's that?
Holiday.
Would he draw? Would he have drawn it out like Jrue? Like that?
I think he probably would. I think Bob Rondo would go Holiday. Holiday. How about when he went out? And what was it that we did with Appleby? Eating good. So honestly,
give us your quick. Let's hear the Jim Bass Knight Dickie V impersonation.
Oh God, Dickie V. Hey. I can't do it. He just makes me sick. The guy's really
talk,
makes me
talk
sick.
About,
that was pretty good.
Yeah, that talk
Dickie
about
V. Hey. Hey.
You do it better, Tyrone. I want you to do Dickie V.
Give me your Dickie V talking about Calipari. I mean, Joe Calipari, baby.
Joe Calipari, man. Yay. He's all world, man. He loves the pasta and the spumoni. Yeah. John Calipari, what a guy, what a nice father, lover of animals, good father, good husband.
That's perfect.
So what?
What's
that?
Let's talk about Brian W. Morrison.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I want to know about Brian Morrison. What's going on with him?
He's really doing the Chitoka.
Hold on. I just hit the bong. He's good, man.
Is he doing all right?
Yeah, he's killing it in the music game.
Well, I was wondering about that because, you know, tell him to give me a call because I'm the music pro. If he needs any help in the music world,
well,
you know that I'm the guy.
He's more on the production side.
Okay.
More on the production
all right.
side. Rubbing elbows
in what sense?
With the UCLA alums.
Really? Like the guys wearing the gold chains and driving in the Mercedes convertibles out in West LA, those guys you mean?
Yep.
I gotcha.
Well, this has been a good show. I'm going to call it a night, but we can continue this on the three-way conversation while we're getting ready to head out into the wild blue yonder. But this has been a good conversation on Talking Hoops.
Yeah, thanks
once
for taking
again.
My call, Jim.
Oh, you bet. Well, it was good to have you. I'm glad you can make it. Anyway, this is Jim Bastnight for Talking Hoops, and we'll see you next week. It ain't going to be this fun, I guarantee it. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be even better. We'll have all kinds of stuff going on. We'll see you next week.